right, hello and welcome back to another edition of All About Lost. TLE, what episode are we on here?
This is episode 412, There's No Place Like Home, part one.
All right, you heard it there first. And like always, I'm your host of the most on this podcast journey slash experience, Jeremy. And like always, he joins me, my left, your right, the one, the only, the true star of the show, none other than TLE.
Hey everybody, it's Memorial Day.
Yes, it is.
So, happy Memorial Day to everybody.
All right. If you're in the United States.
Yes.
But it's like a holiday in a bunch of countries, just not given the same name. So, there you go. And it's been a long time since we have been recording, but we are back, of course. What is today then? Memorial Day is what, May 20-something or other? It's like the first Monday of the last week in May, something like that.
That's right. Only a few more days to go until the finale of Lost for this season.
And several things have happened since we've been on. Last time we recorded, Justiniana was still playing tennis, and now she has retired. So
she's given it up, but she was a good champion while she was around.
Yeah, and now we're in the French Open, and she's not playing, so there is no favorite on the women's side. On the men's side, I guess you're going to have to go with Rafael Nadal or Roger Federer, depending on who you like better. So I, of course, am picking Roger Federer. TLE, your pick?
I like Roger. I've always liked Roger. I'm going to continue to like Roger.
But you wouldn't be surprised if Nadal won.
No, Nadal's awesome.
On clay.
He's younger, stronger, faster, but Federer's got the smooth moves, the quick stroke, and the experience on his side.
All right, Tilly, who do you like on the women's side?
I like Anna.
Kournikova?
No. Ivanovic.
Okay.
Anna Ivanovic. She looks good,
so,
and she plays
good. So Tilly has jumped on the Serbian bandwagon.
Is she Serbian?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know that.
Well, now you do.
Okay.
And for other things you may not know, you guys can email in to TLEpodcast@yahoo.com. Again, there's TLEpodcast@yahoo.com. TLE must have posted up onto the blog, even though I told him specifically not to, because now I'm getting hundreds of spams again.
Sorry about
that. But this time, I'm weaning through less spam still than on the other email address for the Prison Break podcast.
Okay. Well, that's good at least.
And actually, to start off the show, we have an email that we will get to. And TLE, this is another one of your great fans here, who says, just a quick comment about how great the show was with TLE flying solo. And actually, interestingly enough, TLE, when you did that, that was like probably one of the worst quality, like actual quality shows that we've ever produced.
I thought it was really bad.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you on that.
I think it was my first time out trying to produce anything, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I'm still not sure I know what I'm doing.
Goes on to say, a real joy to hear him roll along with his views and opinions without constantly being interrupted, corrected, and put down. So I guess he means put down. I'm not down on Jeremy, just think you may want to study other podcasts to help, quote, mature the TLE podcast with insight as to how you can contribute to each other's ideas, thoughts, and theories. You guys are good and work well together. However, it's distracting for the listener to get mixed signals when there are distractions in a normal conversation. Does this make sense? No.
Okay.
He wants to know if it makes sense.
Oh, does it make sense? Yeah, I think it makes sense. Do you think it makes sense?
For the most part.
Okay.
Lost is hard enough to follow, and when the conversation is not linear, it just makes it harder to figure out and distractive. Hope this comes across as constructive criticism and not bashing. I'm still listening because I think you guys have something. Corbin.
Thanks, Corbin.
Yes.
All right, so we'll try not to over-talk each other. I guess that's what he was trying to say.
Specifically talking to me, not interrupting you, I just did.
Oh, all right.
But we've been doing the show for so long, it just comes naturally.
I think that's just the way it is.
Yeah, that's the way our show is. We are the most controversial Lost podcast.
But I think we could make it a little better, so we'll continue to try and improve any way we can, because we do care about making sure that people can understand what we're saying on the podcast. And we'd like to get your comments, too, so continue to send them in.
TLEpodcast@yahoo.com. TLE, you want to tell the people the blog before you jump into the recap this week?
Where the blog is located is TLE1Lost.
TLE1Lost.
You shouldn't ask me. Yeah. TLE1Lost.wordpress.com. It's a WordPress blog. I would recommend WordPress to anybody. It's free. It's easy. It's great.
And they haven't even given us any money, so hopefully after this they will wire us some.
Yeah.
And here's how the show will go down. Like we said before, sorry to interrupt you again, TLE, but we're going to kick it off with our recap for the first part of a three-part finale. It's, what's it called?
It's called There's No Place Like Home.
There's No Place Like Home, part one of three. After that, we'll get into Teely's thoughts, views, comments, etc. Your guys' thoughts, views, comments, etc. All that and a whole lot more here on this week's edition. So, Teely, if you're ready, we'll go ahead and jump right into that recap that you've got
All
so
right.
perfectly written out this week.
All right. I am ready. Here's what we learned in part one of this three-part finale to season four. First off, we're going to do Off the Island. The Oceanic Six use a cover story to tell the media a lie about what really happened on the island. The relatives of the Oceanic Six meet them in Honolulu at a military base. That was a very emotional scene where we got to see a lot of our favorite old characters.
And another email I didn't actually print out because it was just a question, sort of in regards to this scene, is supposedly there's a person in the cockpit of the plane, and the person thought it looked like Desmond.
There is somebody in the plane. There's somebody else in the plane, and it's kind of in the shadows. You can barely see the person, and obviously they don't want you to know who it is because all you can see is like their legs sticking down. They're kind of sitting behind the rest of the group.
Are they
But
white?
you'll no, you can't even tell.
Oh,
You can
it could
just
be Abaddon then.
it could be Abaddon. A lot of people think it is
Oh,
him.
really? People actually have thought that?
Yeah, so yeah, that was a good guess on your part
Yeah.
because
So who do you
I
right
don't
now, if you had to say somebody, who would
First
it
of all,
be?
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, me neither,
I didn't catch
unfortunately. And we
that.
saw the show like 2 weeks ago,
Yeah,
so
and
we're
I
a little
even
rusty
watched it.
here.
I watched it twice, I
Yeah.
think. You watched it once,
Yeah.
but I didn't even catch that. I had to go back after I saw some comments about it and said, "Oh yeah, there is somebody sitting back there. He doesn't move and he doesn't leave the plane. Just sits there the whole time."
So who do you think it is, though? You still haven't answered.
I don't know.
Do
I
you think it
mean,
could be Desmond? Do you think they're trying to hide the fact that who is this other person? I mean, of anybody who wouldn't get off with the rest of them, it probably would be Desmond. But I mean, he wasn't on the manifest, but that's not to say that maybe somehow he was still on the plane. But I could see why they would try to hide and cover him up. But I mean, we still don't know how this plane even finds them and picks them up.
Right.
So
Which will.
I think we have a comment here later where somebody asks about, well, what did they actually tell Oceanic? So we'll get more into that later, I
Yeah,
guess.
and I think this next episode on Thursday is going to answer a lot of those questions about what they really
Yeah, but we're
know.
speculating now.
Yeah, we're speculating now about what they're going to say. All right, so back to the recap. Said reunites with Nadia. Jack meets his mom. Hurley meets his parents. Sun meets her parents. Aaron and Kate have no one to greet them. And I just put a comment in here. You know, Kate's mom was really sick. So it could be that she wanted to meet her, but she couldn't. And then we did get a comment that said, "What about Kate's dad?" And I kind of forgot about him. You know, she had two dads, so to speak. She had her real father, Wayne, which she blew up in his house because he was.
Yes.
You
I do
remember that
remember that.
episode?
One of my favorite scenes. I'm just kidding. That was pretty let down to what she did.
That was like she was on her
Yeah.
motorcycle and she turned on the gas and Wayne came home late and she lit a match or something or a
Yeah,
lighter
and
and
he
blew up
died.
the house. But then she had her adopted father who was in the military. And you know, he was pretty upset with her the last scene we saw
Oh, yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
because she had killed Wayne. So maybe he just didn't want to see her and you know, she did have a lot of legal problems and so maybe he didn't want to get in
So
the middle of
maybe
that.
she was happy that there was no one there to greet her anyway.
Yeah, so it was sort of sad, but you can understand why.
You want to know what would have been great addition to the scene if somebody would have had the dog just in the background, Vincent.
Oh, Vincent,
Yeah.
yeah. Maybe that was Vincent. No, never mind. That'd be too weird.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's either, like you said, Desmond, or maybe it's Ben Linus. You know, Ben Linus has got to get off
But
the
we think he's
island.
going to go off with Kimi and Co.
Yeah, so we'll see. Anyway, it'd be interesting this week. Okay, but anyway, the cover story is basically that Oceanic crashed in the water nearby a small island in the Sunda Trench, and then a typhoon, I think, washed a small boat and supplies on shore after 108 days, which they then used to, or at least the Oceanic Six and Kate used to go to a larger island where they were then picked up by the Coast Guard. I think that's the cover story in a nutshell.
Sounds good.
So, Hurley, we see Hurley then, and he's, you know, giving up his 150 million. This is after they had the press conference.
Where Jack goes, good job to everybody after they're done. Like he's some sort of captain for a baseball team or something, the way he
Right.
says it.
Because obviously he's the one who finally gave his agreement that they were going to make up this cover story, and that's
Yeah.
what they were going to go with. But Hurley just, you know, he doesn't want anything to do with his money anymore. He thinks it's jinxed. He goes home. by himself. You see him in his really old car. It looks like an old Ford Pinto, which I used to drive back in the day, long, long time ago. Drive up to his,
Tried
like,
to get off that pretty quick, TLE.
yeah.
Something else about this car that
No,
everyone
that
should know, or is that for another edition of Torments with TLE?
it almost could have been. Those cars were notorious for exploding. So
Oh, that's it. That's great.
yeah, they had a problem with the gas tank
So
in the back.
you got the car after that had been exposed so you could get it cheaper?
No, actually I bought it before.
Oh, and then that came out.
Yeah, actually my parents bought it for me and I was driving around for years and then we found out later that it was a death trap. So
Yeah. Drove
anyway.
that off a cliff quickly.
Yeah, so we sold that car. But he comes home and there's no one around. And as he's walking in the door, if you remember, he sees like a coconut on
Yes.
the ground, which is very strange. And the first thing I thought of was Dave's back.
Yeah,
You
I
know,
think you
his
said that.
imaginary friend
Yeah,
Dave, who
Dave.
used to throw coconuts at Hurley.
Which I don't recommend you do because those can actually be quite painful,
Yes.
especially if you got the sharp skin on them.
Yep. And he got thrown run right in the stomach, which has gotta hurt. And he walks in and he
Doing the
hears
wave.
whispers. And we're
Yes.
thinking, man, it's like he's back on the island or something.
Yeah.
There's whispers going on,
He starts getting a
coconuts.
little paranoid.
So he grabs the gold statue of Jesus, right? I think it's gold.
Yeah.
And
Like the Jesus stick.
yeah, exactly. And he starts to open the patio doors and says something like, I can't believe I'm doing this, which I'm not exactly sure what that means.
Yeah.
And then instead of creepy people, it's all his in-laws and relatives and friends, including, you know, the Oceanic Three or whoever it is that are still there. Just to greet him for a surprise party. So that had me going. I didn't know what that was about. But then Hurley's dad takes him outside to the garage to show him a special gift. His dad's been working on that old Camaro that we saw earlier.
Tilly, did you have a Camaro in your previous
I
life?
wish. I mean, that was a cool car to have.
Yeah.
Camaro was the coolest. So I could see why Hurley likes that car.
Yeah.
And he's all excited about it. He gets into the car with his dad and looks at the odometer, which just happens to have the infamous numbers showing.
That's a lot of miles.
Yeah, 4, 8, 15, 16. And then what was on the bottom? It's like the trip odometer part,
Yeah, probably.
23, 42, or something like that.
That's
So
still a lot of miles on a car.
it is. And that's an old car, so I guess you could see that. But Hurley freaks out. He's like, it's the numbers. It's cursed. I'm not going to drive this car. I don't want this car. He goes running out of the car down the street with his dad chasing after him. A few months later, we see a very pregnant son climbing the steps to her father's office. He's in a meeting with a few men who are talking about someone or some people who used five bank accounts, excuse me, to invest a lot of money in their company. Son's father wants to know who it is. He's about to find out. As son talks to him and he asks about the baby, son says her father never cared about the baby or Jin. In fact, her father hated Jin and turned him into an enforcer, a violent man who ruined their marriage. Sun has come back now for her revenge. She's the one who bought a controlling interest in her father's company.
Ooh.
She says her father caused the death of Jin along with another
The
man
plot
who caused the
thickens.
death. Yes, who is the other man? That's the question.
Tilly, were you an enforcer back in the day? Or no, not.
No, not even close.
Oh, no.
I was more
You were the
like, I
enforcee?
was the enforcee or the enforced.
Yes.
I was the one that was drilled and turned into a little small,
Person.
tiny. Yes.
All right. All right, I have some theories on the other person.
Okay.
Hurley. Just because he seems like he's the only person who even cares about what's going on with Sun because we saw him and her other flash forward. Or it could actually be Jin himself.
Okay. But this is the person that caused Jin's death, so it's probably not Jin.
It is Jin.
It is Jin. He caused his own death.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, that's possible. All right, so I'm thinking it could be Charles Widmore or Michael. You know, Michael's
Yeah.
always in the middle of every disaster that happens to all the people.
True.
So, okay, now on the island, Jack has a memorial service for his dad. This says on island, but he's not really on island when he's doing a memorial service for his dad.
Wait, what? I'm totally
I
lost.
am too. I think I threw on island too early.
All right, so not on
Not
island.
on island, still
Off island.
off island or in
Mainland.
Los Angeles. Jack has a memorial
Angeles.
service for his dad with Kate, Aaron, Saeed, Nadia, and Hurley in attendance. I'm guessing Sun's probably back in Korea by now. At the service, he meets a stranger who says she knew Jack's dad. She says she was in Sydney to see his daughter. She says he was in Sydney to see his daughter while she was in the hospital after a car accident.
Yeah, I totally missed this scene. I heard about it, though, on another podcast.
Yeah, it's right at the end of the funeral. She walks up to Jack, and Kate's there and says, can I have a minute, please, in an Australian accent? And Jack says, okay. And she goes, I just thought you ought to know that you had a sister and that your father and I, you know, your father also had another child in Australia and I was the mother. And the girl's name was Claire. And when she tells Jack that, he sort of cracks up. You know, he just gets really emotional and he just can't.
You say cracks up, you mean he laughs like the sort of laugh before you're about to have a breakdown, or he just has a breakdown?
He has a mental breakdown.
Okay.
It's not
and
obvious.
And suddenly a beard appears.
All right, beard hairs pop out of his face. But he gets very emotional and he's, you know, obviously he's thinking about what happened on the island, which we don't know yet what it is that happened to Claire. But obviously, you know, obviously at least one thing we know that he left her behind.
Yeah.
Or two, she's dead. Yeah. And he has something to do with the fact that she's dead. So
yeah, I was asleep at this point. I think it was pretty late. I miss this.
It was pretty late. But, you know, it doesn't all jive yet because Desmond said that he saw Claire and Aaron get on a helicopter.
That's true.
So there's still something they have to resolve.
Yeah, there's some time warp not yet closed all the way.
Right. So maybe he saw that in a future cycle of events. In this cycle of events, she dies.
Life. All right. So, Tilly, do you think that this was revealed too early or what? You know, to Jack that he finds this out?
I was surprised. I didn't
expect that. Right here?
Yeah, I did not expect that to happen. I was glad, though, because I hate when these things get drawn out too long.
Like the coffin.
Like the coffin.
I don't care about at all.
I know, I've started to lose some interest in that. But we should find out, hopefully, this week.
And same with the four-toed statue thing. That's been promised for seasons now.
That was in season two. And now we're at season four.
Almost over season four. And I don't think they're going to get to it.
Unless they do something really quick this week. I don't know. Okay. Now we're on the island. On the beach, Miles uses the sat phone to call Keeney and the helicopter group. They say they are going to the Orchid Station. Shoot, I screwed that up. It's not Miles. It was Daniel. Daniel used the sat phone to call Keeney and the helicopter group. They say they are going to the Orchid Station. Daniel knows the Orchid was part of the second protocol. Or the backup
plan. The captain never knew about the second protocol.
No.
But somehow Faraday actually already knew about it. So my thought is Faraday is doing one of those time travel things, so he already has been back on the boat and saw the second protocol. Because there's no other reasoning why he knows about the second protocol.
Yeah, because he's just a lackey. He's just
a
scientist.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like he has any sort of leverage in this whole thing going down by Widmore and Kimi. You know, you don't think he'd be included in that triangle, but...
Right, I'm thinking that he's just there as a scientist to examine the island's
time
travel.
So how does he know about the second protocol?
Right, that's what you're saying.
I know, so what do you think?
That's as good an answer as I could get, because I, like you, I don't think he has inside knowledge
of
what's
either.
Going on. So the second protocol is that they think Ben Linus will head to the Orchid Station, which is actually true, because that's exactly what he is doing.
Yeah, but okay. Ben seems to already know about this as well.
Yeah, Ben even has his own secret protocol, thinking that they're going to do what he thinks he's going to do. And
called the Pansy Protocol.
Yeah, so he's already, what did he do? He climbed up the mountain, and he found a box buried in a bunch of rocks. And inside the box was, what, some old crackers or something?
Yeah.
Which Hurley starts to eat.
No, it didn't surprise me at all.
And Ben says, you know, those are 15 years old. And Hurley's like, oh, but he keeps eating them anyway.
Yeah. That wasn't like a nervous eating thing. He liked them.
Yeah, he really did like them. And then he also finds a mirror. And do you remember if there's anything else?
Tilly, you really shouldn't ask because I have no idea. You've seen it twice. I saw it once, and I was half asleep during that episode.
Yeah, okay. All I can remember right now is the mirror and the crackers. But Ben uses the mirror to signal somebody up on a mountain. And he uses Morse code in some kind of, you know, flashy.
Some sort of flashing way. Yeah.
Flashy way. And we don't know. I mean, someone may have translated what the Morse code is, but they don't really show enough of it to really translate.
Yeah, so nobody really cares.
And he goes, now we can go to the Orchid. You know, so he needed to make sure that whoever was up there knew that he was coming.
So who do you think it was?
Some people think it was Richard Alpert,
Yeah,
but
obviously some people probably said Christian Shepherd,
Christian Shepherd. But you
Claire.
know, the problem with those all those
They're in the
people is
cabin.
the two of those are in the cabin, and Richard Alpert we see in the next scene. He's in the middle of the jungle when he meets up with Kate and
Well, yeah, but I mean, people think Richard
Saeed.
Alpert can obviously like
Teleport
teleporter.
himself
Yeah,
around.
because the interesting thing is then when Ben gets up there, he's like, they're already here. So either A, that person who he was communicating with knew they were there and told him that, because the way Ben's walking up, I mean, he acts surprised. I guess also in there might have been binoculars too, because remember he has binoculars that he uses to see. I don't know if he had those before though. Either that happened or B, at that point in time when the person he's communicating with didn't know that those people were coming yet, but based on like the path that Kimi that made with the helicopter, you could have assumed that was where they were heading. So I tend to believe that at that point in time, maybe they weren't there yet. Albert did that whole communicate, then poof, gone.
That could be.
Couldn't warn them.
And if he can teleport, he could easily jump into the jungle
That's what I'm saying,
quickly.
yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. We may cover this a little bit again because I'm trying to catch up to myself here. Daniel tells Charlotte they must get off the island now.
Yeah, because Daniel knows what Kimi's gonna do.
Yeah. And the inference is that the Orchid Station somehow is a danger to everyone. And you know that they said they were going to torch the island. Kimi
Yeah.
said that at one time.
I
So.
mean, torch can mean more than just light on fire too, though. I mean, that could be blow up, you know.
Right, or maybe that Daniel knows that the Orchid is the station that controls how the island can move from one place to another. So if they need to get off the island, they want to probably get off the island as
So he can
quickly
see,
as
he
they
still has the
can,
bearing, so he knows how to get off.
so he can get off before the island moves, you know, and get back to the freighter before it's too late to
That's true
figure out
too.
how to get
And
back there.
do you have any new theories about that thing on Kimi's arm?
I think it might be an anti-time travel
Device.
device of some sort, you know,
And so that's the only one, that's why the pilot couldn't shoot him. But he didn't know what it was either. The pilot didn't. I mean, not the pilot, the captain had no idea what it was anyway.
No.
But getting back onto the show, sorry, just
Okay.
sort of trailing off.
So Jack and Kate use the sat phone to track down the helicopter. Jack still thinks the helicopter is the means to get everyone rescued. On the way, they meet Sawyer, Aaron, and Miles. They have lost Claire. We saw her last show, but Sawyer does not know that yet. He warns them that Kimi is going to kill everyone on the island, just like Locke suspected. Jack sends Kate back to the beach while he and Sawyer go looking for the Hilo. Saeed uses the inflatable boat then to go to the island from the freighter. He tells everyone to start leaving the island using the boat. Daniel knows the way and takes the first group, including Jin and Sun, with Aaron. Kate and Saeed are going after Jack to warn him. Kate can use her tracking skills to find them, she says. But instead, they find the others, led by you know who,
The Alp.
Alpert, which they take them hostage and lead them somewhere. And the question is, where do they take them? Are they taking them to the
I
orchid?
missed this too.
Are they taking them to the temple? We don't know, but we know
Are
they're
they going
taking.
to make a sacrifice at the four-toed statue?
Yeah, it could be that.
A question about the Saeed and the people in the boat. Was Charlotte in there or no?
No.
No, okay.
And the other question I had was when we saw Richard Alpert and a bunch of the others, where was Cindy?
Yeah, you seem to be the only person still
Who
on the
cares?
Cindy bandwagon.
Yeah, I still care about all these characters that we saw
And the kids.
in the first season. Yeah, the kids weren't there. Cindy, it seemed like a expeditionary party, just a group of guys out to find Kate and Saeed. So Jack and Sawyer do find the helicopter, and guess who's inside? It's Frank Lapidus,
My favorite character.
who's been handcuffed there by, I guess, Kimi. Kimi doesn't trust Lapidus anymore,
Well, I mean,
maybe.
can you blame Kimi, though? I mean, he seems to know that Lapis is going to do something stupid.
Yeah, he doesn't trust Lapidus because Lapidus still is there for a rescue mission, whereas Kimi's there for a
For
self-help,
the kill
destroy,
everybody.
and get Ben mission. He tells them that they need to leave now before Kimi and the rest of the militia get back. But Sawyer says they're after Ben and Hurley is with him. So Jack says, bleep, and they go out to find Hurley. At this point, they don't seem to care much about Locke, though. They're just going
No.
out to get Hurley. They don't care about Locke. So, and we covered some of this in the final segment. Ben leads Hurley and Locke to a rocky hiding place where he pulls out a mirror and 15-year-old crackers. He uses the mirror to signal someone. "Who are you signaling?" Locke asks. "Who do you think?" says Ben. Now, when Ben says that to Locke, you would think the only person that he would be referring to would be Jacob.
Yeah, but I mean, Locke also knows Albert. Locke knows a lot of the others from the time that he was there.
Yeah, that's true. But it seems like whenever they have a conversation, it's always about
And it
Jacob.
seems like whenever one of these like open-ended questions is asked to Locke, either A, he just says something like when Shepard says, Christian Shepard says, "Why don't you ask the one question that does matter?" And he goes, "What do I need to do to save the island?"
Right.
He could have easily just said, "What do I need to do?" That way he doesn't make it so specific. And here's another great example where he should ask, "Well, who is it?" You know, because we don't know. And he just, Locke
Right.
doesn't say anything.
Right. I mean, we're all like, where is Jacob? And we're getting tired of
Where's
this.
Jacob?
Where is he?
And apparently they cast somebody to play him, so where is he?
Yep.
Or
So
her?
every time we go to find Jacob, he's not there. It's very frustrating. Let's see. One of the things, how I wrote this in the blog, I said one of the things is I'm hoping it's Mikhail. You know, I think we're
Oh,
still on the
yes.
Mikhail kick
Yes,
that
we
he's still
are.
somehow alive.
Tilly, that seems like something I would have wrote, not you.
Yeah.
And I sort of gone off that, but you're right back on.
Yeah,
So
I'm still
thank you for
back on
reminding me
it.
about Mikhail.
Yep. They climb the mountain, but when they get there, Kimi is already waiting for them at the orchid. But Ben has a plan. He says he always has a plan, and he tells that to Locke. He wants Locke and Hurley to go to the greenhouse and find the secret elevator that will take them down to the real orchid station. Ben then walks right into Kimi's trap on purpose to give himself up, whereby Kimi pistol whips Ben, followed by Lost.
Lost.
The end of that episode.
The end of that episode.
What do you think? In general, good, bad, indifferent?
Honestly, it wasn't that great because I don't really remember a lot of it. I mean, if it's a really, really good episode, I definitely will stay up and like really be into the episode. This one, at the beginning, I was really into it, and as time went on, interest started waning a little bit. I mean, I saw most of it, but it definitely wasn't the best episode of the season. Definitely wasn't one of the best episodes of Lost ever. I mean, it was a good episode, like they basically all have been this season, but I still don't think it was as good as Flashes Before Your Eyes or well, a couple other ones.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think this is one of those setup episodes
Yeah, I'll
where they,
definitely give it like an 8.8 or so.
yeah,
I
where
mean,
they,
we know you'll be in the 9 bracket, but.
well, they're just kind of setting things up. They're not really trying to explain very much. In fact, there's more questions than answers
And they
mostly.
sort of threw in just the Jack and Claire thing, which I don't think this was the right time to do that, but I mean, that's just my opinion.
Yeah. I was always wondering how they were going to do
And
that.
that was a bad way to do it, I thought.
Because, you know, Claire wasn't just going to come up to him and
Yeah,
say,
that seemed like
"Hey,
the easiest way
you're
possible for
my
him to do it.
brother."
Yeah. It
In
would have
that
been nice if
honest way.
Jack somehow could have found out while he was still on the island, though. Like, I thought maybe Christian Shepherd would tell him at some point, his dad, if he
Yeah.
somehow saw him again, but.
Yeah, that's what you would have thought. Yeah, eventually they would
I
have
think that would have
talked.
been the better way to go with it. That way, when Jack makes that decision, whatever decision it is that he makes, he knows what he's doing.
Right.
Where here, it's easy for him to do that and for people to still like him, where I think that they should probably just make a complete heel turn for Jack anyway after we saw him. I know you wouldn't like that because you're in the Jack fan club, but I think that honestly, that's the best way to go because you can't keep the same character. And obviously, Jack does start to change, but you really could have got a lot of the people against him if he would have made that decision to end up sacrificing Claire in the long run.
Yeah, they could have made it more dramatic. All right, so here's some quick thoughts. The title of this episode is what Dorothy says to the wizard right before she taps her ruby slippers together. Remember Wizard of Oz? She says, "There's no place like home."
But a lot of people say there's no place like home.
Yeah, but I think this is, you know,
I think that's a Winnie the Pooh
the
episode
whole
too.
Henry Gale, you know,
Well,
everything Wizard of
whatever.
Oz,
Yeah.
they're referencing that.
This Oz thing is just getting too complex.
Jack knows he needs to lie about what happened on the island. Hurley still thinks the numbers are cursing him and also is afraid that Dave, his imaginary friend, is back to haunt him. I will say that Sun totally surprised me by getting her back at her father. That
I'm
really,
surprised he didn't kill her.
yeah,
I was waiting for it.
he doesn't like being disrespected, but it's apparent that, you know, now that she has control of his company, he's gonna back off.
Can't he just buy more shares?
No, now that she has a controlling
Controlling share.
interest,
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I
yeah.
got it.
I mean, eventually he might be able to do what she did, but it's going to take a while.
Thought
And in
you
the
were saying.
meantime, she can consolidate her influence over the company, at least I think if I were her, I would start going into the records and figuring out what is this company really doing. And
I think she already knows what they're doing.
To some degree,
Because she
yeah.
goes, Jin was an enforcer. Like there are different levels that he had inside that.
Yeah, she knew that she definitely knew that her husband was being used by her father. But the question is, does she know all the little details about the transactions that are going on? Obviously, Paik, Widmore, you know, Hanzo, maybe those companies are all somehow in cahoots with each
The
other.
company from Prison Break.
And maybe that one too, because we did see a person from Prison
Yeah,
Break in
so
this
a
episode.
company person as well. So possibly Oceanic 6 people. You guys, I'll give you guys a few seconds to think about who this possibly could be, but I'll leave it with this before Teal'c gives away the answer. Oceanic 6 may not be able to be trusted, or Oceanic, not Oceanic 6.
Right, because
Oceanic employees.
their spokesperson, what's her name? I can't
I
remember her
don't know.
name in
The
the
just
show.
the woman on the plane who
Yeah,
talks to
the
them
woman on the plane who talks to them is also was also in Prison Break
as part of the company.
as part of the company. And she
This, and
was
she was the
also
very first representative of the actual company that we ever saw.
right, and she was also kind of, you know, hiding that fact, right? It wasn't obvious. She was kind of
Yeah, it
quietly sneaking around.
wasn't until the vice president revealed that she was part of the company.
Right.
So, interesting fact there. And again, like usual, Lost is stealing things from Prison Break. And we've seen it over and over again. It's getting redundant, Teal'c. So call up all your people in high power and tell them to stop.
Stop it. Please stop it. Okay. So,
More
I
thoughts?
was going to say some more thoughts about Sun. You know, she blamed her father for Jin's death, but she was also somewhat to blame because she was lying about a lot of things that was going. She never told Jin about his mother, you know, coming back to blackmail him. There's a bunch of things. I can't remember them all now, but there was a lot of things she did that kind of led Jin into that life. The whole affair thing that she had with Jay Lee sort of led Jin into that. So she was partially, if not, you know, a lot to blame. Sawyer actually cares about what happens to Hurley. That was a surprise. So he goes on that rescue mission with Jack. And when was the last time that Jack and Sawyer were on the same
Yeah,
side?
am I the only person who thinks that they're sort of just doing things to make the fans of the show like characters more? Like with Sawyer, I mean, you've seen this big transformation from season one to now, and I personally don't like it. I think they need to get the characters back into how they were acting in season one instead of trying to change them all. I mean, obviously they might be doing it on purpose to show Jack, becoming what Sawyer was in a way, but I don't like it.
They go back and forth.
Yeah, I
You
get
know,
what
the
you're
thing
saying.
that surprised me, I guess, was was it last season that he killed Anthony Cooper in the
Sawyer. Yeah, that one
Sawyer
sort of
killed
brought
Anthony
back the
Cooper
Sawyer.
and how Kate was saying reclusive Sawyer was getting. He wasn't talking to anybody, wasn't talking to Kate. He seemed kind of really depressed and kind of remorseful or maybe a little bit about what he did. But this season he seems fine. Like, oh, everything's fine, you know. They've sort of forgotten all about that
Yeah, I know.
storyline a
Yeah,
little
I
bit.
agree. As well
Okay.
as the four-toed statue storyline and Mikhail and Aldo. They're really not bringing back the storylines that the fans want. And you guys can continue that list by emailing tealeepodcast@yahoo.com. You're listening to All About Lost with Jeremy and Tealeec. Tealeec, continue with your
I
thoughts.
have lots of thoughts. I was really happy that Saeed and Nadia finally reunited. I mean, I was kind of thinking that was going to be at the end of the season or end of the series.
Yeah.
I didn't really expect it to happen so soon. I thought he'd have to go looking for her somewhere, you know. But she just showed up at the airport there and went and met him, and I was really happy for
I mean,
them.
how would they? Why did they let her go when nobody? Oh, wait, she wasn't there at the very beginning, though, so never mind, you're right.
Right. And but you know, we know that she's not going to last very long because we've already seen a flash forward where Nadia was
His,
killed,
yeah,
which is sad.
funeral.
Everyone believes that Kate was the one that was pregnant before she got on Oceanic 815. So who was the supposed father? You know, obviously with all this media attention, people are going to be wanting to know all about Kate's backstory. So I don't know if they're going to try and cover that in the show Lost or not, but I wonder what is Ben's plan now that he is captured by Kimi And what is Locke supposed to do once he gets to the underground orchid station? You know, Locke told him to go down there. He didn't tell him what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions. Who planted the C4 explosive in the boat? That was a ton of C4 explosive.
Yeah.
Now, this is another McHale possibility. Because remember all the C4 was at the, what was that, the flame station?
Yeah.
Where McHale was the communications guy.
That's in the video game, I think, too.
Yeah, and it's in the video game.
It might be hinting at the return. I don't know. Maybe we're just the only ones picking up on it, but we got to see. I mean, I think it got a lot of hype. I mean, the character in general, he's one of those characters that you need to have again. It's one of those ones that some of the fans from Lost really like, you know, like sort of like a cult character.
Right.
And he hasn't come back yet. So they're going to have to bring him back soon, or we're going to go ABC and drop some peanuts there and maybe get what we want.
So,
and Jericho's not coming back either.
No, so Jericho. Sorry about that. And well, my theory is that maybe Jin might die trying to disarm it. You know, he sent Sun out onto the deck of the boat saying, go out. You maybe didn't see this either. But
I didn't see it.
When they found the explosive, Sun was there. It was in a hatch, you know, on below decks. And she was there, and he sent her away. And now that they're sitting in a room or standing in a room with a whole bunch of explosives. And we know that Jin supposedly dies. So I'm reading between the lines, and maybe Jin is
going to I think, in my opinion, that's just a little bit too obvious. I think Kimi's going to come back and kill him.
Yeah.
I have this theory that they're going to be leaving, and it's going to be one of those bang-bang situations. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Jin's going to let Sun go first, and he's going to be the one shot in the back as the rest get on a helicopter driven by Frank Lapidus.
Because, you know, he'll wipe out anybody and everybody.
Yeah, it don't matter.
Care. And what about Desmond? You know, we talked about maybe Desmond was on the plane as that mysterious character.
Yeah, this episode really was Desmond? Who? You know, if you're a first-time watcher, Desmond, who's that?
Right. So there's some thoughts. Maybe Desmond, this might be his last episode.
Maybe Desmond armed the
C4. Yeah, maybe Desmond put it in there. Although that would kind of mess up his plan to meet up with Penny. But you never know. Stranger things happen on this show.
Yeah, he could be having the sickness.
So in 2 weeks, we'll probably get most of our answers, including
in 2 days.
In 2 days, yeah. When I wrote this, it was 2 weeks. In 2 days, we'll probably get most of our answers, including the big one. Who's in the coffin?
Tilly.
So you don't care anymore?
No. We
don't
Why don't you write the four-toed statue?
Okay, and what about the four-toed statue?
Thank you. And Aldo.
And Aldo. Is he really gone for good?
Or obviously, maybe Aldo could answer all of those questions. He's in the coffin. He built the four-toed statue.
And he's the one with the mirror on the top of the
And
mountain.
He's also Jacob.
And he's Jacob. Wow.
Boom. Knock it out. One character.
He's like he's doing him. The Mike Myers thing. You know, Mike Myers plays every part in the movie. Whatever movie he's in. He always plays every part.
I'm just nodding. I don't know what you're talking about. You mean the dude in the Halloween? Isn't
Austin
that guy's
Powers.
Name Mike Myers?
Austin.
Oh,
Powers.
Austin. Okay, yeah. Now
yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. So here's my possibilities for the people that are in the coffin.
Give us your top five.
My top four.
Oh, top four.
My first one, the first one I thought last year was Ben. It just seemed like Ben somehow had to be the one in the coffin. I had really good
reasons
gut
feeling.
At the time.
So are we doing this like as the farther along you go in your list, the more likely you think? Or
the less likely.
Okay, so Ben is still your number one?
I'm still going with Ben only because it's somebody that both Kate didn't like. Kate still doesn't like Ben.
For whatever reason, I don't know why.
Jack originally didn't like Ben, but as the season goes on, you can see why he would think that Ben maybe is being or trying to do the right thing, you know, by saving the people on the island.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could be that Jack does feel remorseful for whatever happened to him. But the problem with all my theories is that now we've seen these flash forwards and
Ben's been in them.
Ben's in them. So it kind of ruins that, you know.
Yeah, a little bit.
So.
But with the whole time, I still believe that there's some cloning going on. I'm still in the cloning thing.
Well, they have the whole Bad Twin novel, you know, they wrote Ish. For Lost. So there's two people at two different times possibility.
So I'm still going with the cloning.
Okay.
It's like I think that's a clone of Claire, evil Claire.
Okay.
Bad Claire.
Now the second candidate is the
Number
one that
two.
Everybody thinks, and that's why I don't want it to be this person.
Okay, so we're just going to skip through this one.
It's Michael. Everybody thinks
Everybody's
it's Michael.
Everybody's heard this one. Number three.
It makes perfectly good sense that it would be him because
of that stupid newspaper article.
He's been trying to kill himself for like this whole season. The newspaper article, you know, gave away a lot of clues about
But why would Kate be so cold to him?
Well, you know, Michael betrayed Kate.
Yeah, but then
Sawyer,
why would
and
Jack
Jack.
go? I mean, same thing happened to him. I mean, Jack is just messed up.
Well, Jack's reason for going is Jack wanted to bring everyone back home from the island. That was
And
his
he did
goal,
go.
and this would have, you know, showed that he didn't make his goal because Michael died.
Desmond, number three.
Number three, Christian Shepherd.
Oh, no, Desmond.
You know, Christian
was in a coffin.
Christian was in a coffin at one time. He was supposed to be buried by Jack. That was Jack's hope. The only thing that doesn't make sense,
yeah, no.
though, is why wouldn't Kate go? In fact, Kate during this season.
Well, why would she go? She doesn't know him.
Well, Kate mentions during the season that you know, Jack never said anything good about his father, and that she was happy when he did. So the people on the list again were Ben, Michael, Christian,
okay.
and then the last one, Desmond.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be Desmond. Number four. The reason why it might sound a little choppy is because we just stopped a little bit. So if you guys are wondering why Teely might have just stopped mid-sentence or something, you didn't miss anything, but we're just jumping right back into the list. So
Desmond, the only thing is, again, with Kate, you know, Kate and Desmond were fine with each other. I mean, she wouldn't not want to see him in the coffin. But then on the other hand, how are they going to resolve Desmond's story? You know, he's on the freighter waiting for Penny. And we know he doesn't make it back, at least not part of the Oceanic Six, unless he's that secret person that's hiding in the plane. So okay, maybe it's him. What about you? Are those four, any of those four on your list? Or
I would definitely say Ben. You've convinced me of Ben. And probably Desmond. Christian Shepherd, I don't think so, because I still think that that entity is not actually Christian Shepherd. That just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I'm so confused about what he do when the plane crashed. He just suddenly got up and walked out of the coffin, fine as day. I mean, I don't know. So I don't think I'm going to put him on there. And who was the other person you had? Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not going to go with Michael just because it's too,
it's
obvious,
too obvious.
And it's like,
it's so obvious. It's probably the right answer, though. You know what I mean?
Well, no, they wouldn't do that. I mean, it's talked about the person having a child, or talked about the person's what?
Having a teenage son.
Teenage son.
Which would probably fit with Walt. So.
Yeah, it could really be anybody.
Yep. All right, so that's it. Do we want to get into the
feedback?
Fan feedback.
The two fan feedback.
We got a lot of fans.
And you can
feedback.
Email in teelypodcast@yahoo.com, and we'll get your thoughts, opinions, etc. onto the show. If you have any discussion topics, audio feedback is also welcomed with open arms, so feel free to send all that in to us.
Send an MP3, a WAV file, whatever.
Yes.
All right. First one from Lee. Lee says, I don't think the person in the coffin is Ben, Christian, or Desmond, but Michael is still a good possibility. It could also be Juliet.
Oh, that's good.
Or someone from the freighter, like Miles or Faraday. Yeah, if it were Faraday.
Yeah, Lee always sends in good comments, so.
Yeah. But probably not someone else from Flight 815. Had it been another Lostie other than Michael, they would probably have been part of the Oceanic Six, and also Kate would have gone to the funeral. That's the whole key.
Yeah, the Kate like card, the wild card, and that whole thing is her. That's the thing. That basically you dismiss every single character is because of what she said in season three, I guess. The way she said everything, it just sort of...
Right. The only two people three people that would fit that are Ben, Locke, and Michael would be the three people that she really wouldn't want to see, you know, at the funeral.
I mean, the way that she reacts, like, I honestly don't remember too well from last season finale. I mean, what does she say to Jack? She says, like, why would I go, or what did she say?
Why would I go? Something.
Like, in that sort of word. Like, I mean, so that's a possibility where I could see it maybe being Faraday or Juliet even.
Yeah,
because
Juliet.
She doesn't like Juliet very much. Kate has some jealousy issues, so.
Right. And we don't know yet what's going to happen. There could be something major that happens on this next show that really torques Kate off or makes her want to.
About a character?
About some character we haven't even thought about yet. You know?
Like the smoke monster.
Yeah. Or even Sawyer, but I doubt it. Okay, one of the guys at the press conference was questioning Kate about being 6 months pregnant when getting on the plane. Perhaps he's with Widmore or saw footage from the Sydney airport and could tell that she couldn't have been that far along. Yeah, I mean, the whole Kate story is a little shaky, don't you
think?
Yeah,
I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little shaky. I think that once Locke gets into the Orchid Station, he's supposed to find two rabbits with the same number and slam them together. That's a reference to that.
Is he just making a joke?
Well, it's a joke, but it's also pretty true. I mean, if you remember that video that came out at Comic-Con in the summer.
Yeah, I talked about it. Yeah.
And who was it? I don't know if its name was Wickman, Marvin Candle, or whatever.
I think it was the one that Ben had the jacket of.
Oh, okay.
What was that guy?
I don't know. But he says, don't let them touch. You know, there's two bunnies.
Or don't let them see each other.
One he's holding, and the other one drops out of the sky, basically.
Yes, that's where my cloning theory continues to hold true.
Right. So I think it's the cloning time travel thing.
Yes, that basically hits everything.
They send one bunny out into the future, and the other bunny is still here in the present, and somehow they're not supposed to commingle with each other.
Thus, the other Claire is actually back in Australia, alive and well.
Right. And we have creepy Claire at the cabin.
Yes.
I think the C4 on the boat was placed there under Widmore's orders. Could be. I think
by
the
who,
device
though?
Strapped to Keeney's arm in the previous episode is a detonator, which is sending or receiving a signal to the ship. I think it might also detect his pulse and will detonate the explosive if his pulse stops. That's why he was so confident with the captain. Oh, I see.
But the captain didn't know what it was. That's the only thing that sort of disputes that the captain was so confused about what that thing on his arm was.
Yeah.
And then that's when Keeney turned, grabbed the gun, and shot him.
Oh, okay. I also think that someone on the island is going to kill Keeney, which will then detonate the explosives on the boat.
And that could be how Desmond dies.
Killing most of the people there. Son and Aaron will already be off at the time.
Yes. I like it.
Who was Ben signaling with the mirror? Richard Alpert or somebody at the Orchid we haven't seen yet? They could be underground waiting or might have been killed by Keeney.
Tilly, you must love that one. The underground thing, the tunnels.
I love tunnels.
That was you. Yeah, you have this obsession with tunnels. Just like the story I heard on the Mysterious Universe podcast where this person was actually evicted because they were digging tunnels underneath their house. They made like this whole huge tunnel thing, but they had to evict the guy because he was damaging the home. There were like cars and things underneath there, so... They called him the Mole Man, so maybe it's the Mole Man.
Why was he doing it?
He's a messed up guy. I
like to do that. Yeah, I like tunnels. You know, every time a prison break goes underground, I'm like, hey, this is the coolest part of prison break. Tunnels.
So that's been your favorite part is just the fact that they're in tunnels?
Uh-huh. Love tunnels.
Oh, jeez.
Who has been signaling? I just read that. I'm still curious about why they have the story that there were 8 survivors of the crash, but 2 died afterwards. Yes, actually, that's a good point, and I heard on the official podcast that they will be addressing that question. Because remember,
the show will, or the official Lost podcast will.
What the show will, the official Lost podcast made reference to it. But if you remember, Jack, when he was on the witness stand at Kate's trial, said there were 8 survivors, 2 of them died, and only 6 made it off. And I found out from the official Lost podcast that during this week's replay of Part 1, they're going to have a longer news conference, and someone's going to ask that question.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So now we have to actually sit and tune in at 8 o'clock?
No, we have to watch that whole thing all over again.
Yeah, I'm going to be writing a paper for a high school class, but he's making us write a college paper, so.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what happened then.
All right, thanks.
I
hope he's listening. He knows who he is.
I thought it was Faraday using the sat phone. I screwed that up. They also didn't call. They made a point to show that the sat phone saying monitor only or something to that effect. They were just eavesdropping. Yeah, that's right. They were just listening to their conversation when they heard about the Orchid.
Yeah, it's like a radio transmit.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Lee.
Like always, great feedback. Keep it coming.
Kiara. Hi, excellent job on the podcast. You guys are sounding different. What is it? It's my bad producing skills, I think.
Yes, it is.
And maybe I'm getting my allergies back again.
I think it's the bad producing skills.
Yeah. I'm sure that they said that only 8 survived, and since the island is moved and can't be found with the bearing on 305, no one will believe that they were on an island which pulls trees out of their roots, has a smoke monster, and others are living on it. That seems perfectly obvious to me.
All right.
Yeah. No, I know the whole...
Orioles won. Sorry.
Yay. The whole, you know, the real story of the island is even more unbelievable than the telling the truth. So.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
So their fake story is probably more believable than what really happened. I don't have much to say about this episode. The reason why I love Lost so much is that although we know who survives, we have no clue how 6 people who are all in bad positions can leave together. There's Saeed and Kate with the awesome others, whom I love seeing again, but I'll get into that later. Jack, who is with Sawyer, going to find Hurley. What do you think they're going to do? Hurley, who is with Locke and Ben, in the worst position of them all. And then Son and Aaron, who are on the freighter full of explosives. So, you know, there's a lot of suspense that we're going to deal with in this final finale. This has nothing to do with this episode, but I've been thinking about it all the time. How did Claire and Charlie get back together at the end of season two? What had Charlie done to make Claire change her mind? I can't remember this. Do you remember? I'm thinking what it was. Remember,
I'm thinking, I don't know.
both Charlie and Desmond were acting weird around Claire
In season
in
two? No, in season three.
season three.
Or maybe did she see him throwing the Virgin Mary statues in the water?
Yeah,
Was
maybe
that it?
not. Maybe not. Maybe that's what, yeah.
Because she's
She
saying season
was mad
two.
at Charlie because he seemed to be back on his drug habit. He had the
Yeah.
Virgin Mary heroin
Virgin Mary heroin.
and he had a stash of it, and she was upset
Because
with him.
Locke exposed the stash or something.
Yeah, and then Charlie ends up throwing the stash into the ocean,
Yeah, I
which
think.
signified that he was totally over his addiction.
Yeah. I think that's what I remember.
Yeah, and then and you know that was one thing that was between him and Claire was that problem that he had. So that's a good thing. But I was going to say in season three, Desmond and Charlie were acting secretive around
And
Claire
then Desmond
because
finally
Desmond
told
had all
her.
those flashes about Claire's future
Yeah.
and you know Desmond kept going out and stopping her from sending the
And you got the
carrier
bird and all
bird.
this other stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So I think eventually she finds out
Desmond
about
tells her.
Desmond tells her about that, you know, Charlie's really trying to save her life and that she should be thankful. And that at the end of that episode, Par Avian, I think it was, she says, we'll deal with this together. You know, Charlie's impending death, that they would deal with it
So I don't know
together.
why she was surprised that he died when he went out to the
Right.
hatch.
I
Which
wasn't aware.
maybe that's
Strange.
why maybe that's why she doesn't feel that much remorse about the whole, because people are always like, why isn't she feeling so bad about this? Well, there's a perfectly good reason. She knew he was going to die eventually, so maybe she already got over it.
Right, she didn't know when, but she did know. Okay. Biggest question to this episode, in my opinion, what is Ben's plan and who is he communicating with? Richard or the others or who? I was
We got
so
into that, Mikhail.
yeah, I was so
Mikhail.
happy that we saw the others again. I love seeing Richard in his island clothes. I hope they are going to be in a lot of the next episodes. I'm nearly positive that Ben was communicating with them, telling them that Sight and Kate were approaching somewhere that he doesn't want them to know about. So that makes sense. That's logical.
Yeesh.
I guess that the reason Jack didn't want to see Aaron in case flash forward of another episode is that he thinks it's his fault that Claire is still on the island and that he didn't go looking for her. Yes, I agree. Sawyer was a gentleman to go with Jack. His character has really evolved throughout the seasons. Yes, he has. I mean, Sawyer,
He's not really, I wouldn't say he's evolved. He's sort of evolved in the other way. He's sort of gone backwards.
Yeah, he goes back and forth from being evil Sawyer, evil selfish Sawyer
Oh, sorry, I thought we were
to,
talking about Jack. My bad.
yeah, to protective
Good, nice
Sawyer.
Sawyer.
Yeah, he was trying to protect Claire, which I thought was great.
I don't really like the change in his character. Just the same way that I don't like the change in Jack's character at all.
Yeah.
I mean, Jack, each week, Jack is reminding me more and more of Lincoln Burrows. And those of you who listen to the Prison Break podcast, no, that's really not a very good thing.
I agree. This is Kiara speaking. I agree with Lee in the comment above that the thing strapped on Akimi is something which will detonate the explosive on the ship.
La la la.
I really don't want Desmond to die, but I have a strong feeling he will.
So it's a few people now with the Desmond death on their mind.
I'm guessing that Jin really does die, as there's no way how he can get back to the island. Yeah, especially after Sun said, "You caused his death." You know, it was pretty direct when she was talking to
Pretty
her father.
cold-blooded vein,
Yeah,
yeah.
so
But
it
I mean, there
wasn't.
could still be a clone of Jin somewhere.
Yeah, or maybe she thinks he's dead and really he's not.
Yeah, I mean, if you see a ship blow up, I mean, this is similar to what happened at the end of season one. We thought, well, I don't know if either of us really thought it, but I'm sure it's very possible people might have thought that Jin was dead, because they couldn't find him. They didn't know where he was. So, I mean, it could be the exact same thing happening again.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a ship blows up, I'm saying,
All
yeah.
right. I mean, there's so many things that could happen. You don't know what it's going to turn out to be.
And speaking of that, I would like to see like a flashback of the island, like from the other's point of view, the day that Michael and Walt were taken. So for the producers and writers listening, please answer those questions for me. Thanks.
And she says, I doubt it is Ben in the coffin as he has proved to be immortal, to me anyway, and he is too cool to die. No matter how hard I think about it, I can't get to any conclusion about who is in the coffin. It has to be someone Jack cares slightly about and no one else, including Kate. The more I think of it, the more sense it makes that it is Ben, but I'm sure the writers would have wanted us to believe it was Ben, so I think it's
I think they
someone
want us to
else.
believe it's Michael.
Yeah, I mean, there's been so many Michael hints. I'm sure Locke will know what to do as he is special. Bye, Kiara. And then Kiara wrote some more. Let's see what else she wrote. Why didn't Kate's dad go to see her? Do you suppose he's dead? Yes, possible. We had seen him once as a soldier or something, and he did look like as he cared for. Yeah, I never thought that he could be dead.
Who?
Her stepfather, Kate's stepfather,
Yeah.
the military guy. He could be killed off by Widmore or somebody, you know, because he knows too much. I have a feeling that Kimi takes Ben off the island, Locke moves it, and then Ben can't find it again.
I don't know about that.
The reason why is we never see flash forwards of Ben on the island. We only see flash forwards of him off.
But we don't see flash forwards of anyone on the island. That's the point.
Yep. And in the conversation between Ben and Widmore in the future. Oh, and in that conversation, she's saying, you'll never find her. That island's mine, Benjamin. It always was. It always will be again. And then Ben says, you'll never find it. Then Widmore, then I suppose the hunt is on for both of us. Ben, I suppose it is. Sleep tight, Charles. Ben would not have said that I suppose the hunt is on for both of us, would he?
Well,
Please
Ben's
tell me
looking
what you
for
think.
Penny and Winmore's looking for the island. But here's an interesting twist
Uh-huh.
that would prove our theory correct. What if Penny is on the island?
Yes, then they both find the same thing at the same time.
Yes.
The thing they're looking for. Okay. And we got a comment from, I'm going to skip some of this. We got a comment from Airtight Noodle.
Huh.
Who says,
it's going to be hard for me to agree with this one.
I have a feeling that Kimi takes Ben off the island, Locke moves it, and then Ben can't find it again. This is Airtight Noodle's comment to Kiara's comment. I have been thinking this too, that Locke moves it and Ben can't find it again. I can't figure out how Ben gets off the island, though. Why do you think Kimi takes him off? Well, Kimi takes him off because that's his mission.
Yeah.
Charles Widmore sent him out to get Ben and bring
him
back.
And then
does
Kimi torch the island or what? I mean, that's really
yeah,
the question.
Yeah, Kimi's plan from Widmore is to get Ben and kill everyone else and torch the island. So obviously, Widmore doesn't care about the island anymore. He just wants Ben.
All right.
And then finally, last one from Kiara. You know that all the freighter people said that the plane was found at the bottom of the Sunda Trench and that all the passengers were found there dead. I wonder what the Oceanic 6 told the reporters and stuff.
Yes, that I was referring to earlier about that. That's a good question. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, we still have no idea how the Oceanic 6 were found by the Coast Guard. I mean, who's to know that the Coast Guard aren't just people that Ben has on the outside or people Widmore has on the outside? I mean, no one knows. And here's my other interesting thing I want to say. Well, maybe not interesting to all of you. Is why hasn't Widmore tried to contact any of the people off the island? I mean, we know that Ben has done this with Abaddon, and I'm still not sure what side Abaddon is on. I think he's on the Ben side, or actually, I don't even know what I think. But why haven't we seen Widmore trying to get in contact with these people?
We don't know. We do know that Ben is trying to kill off the Widmore people. He sent Saeed to be the assassin to kill off, we think, people from Widmore's group and people that work for Widmore, like that Italian
guy. He should
guy.
Just tell Saeed to find Penny.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Anyway, so that's
email
it.
In tlepodcast@yahoo.com or visit the blog tleonelost.wordpress.com to download past episodes. Check out the site index over on the left upper side, I think, and you can scroll to all cool different things like the baseball lineup, among other things. And TLE, we're still going to do a couple more things here on the show. You're not being let off that easy this week.
Rats.
So we're still going to give you a sort of on-the-clock question, but we're not going to put any – I don't want to have you have to try to figure out where to put something in. So this is another one of those what-happened situations, okay? We did this last week, I guess, with – it might have actually been Mikhail. We did it one of these weeks where I said what's happened – oh, no, with Albert, I guess. What happened from Albert from this point to where he is now. So we're going to do that again this week. No time restraint, TLE. So you can just go on as long or as short as you want. And this week's contestant, I don't know if you could guess who it is, but it's definitely going to be Christian Shepherd. This probably would have been a better question last week, but with the return of Albert and Albert and Christian Shepherd last week. We'll do Christian Shepherd this week. So same sort of format. What happened since the plane crash to where we saw him again in the cabin? Or of course you can explain that it's not actually him, but go ahead and take it away.
All right, I need to back up because that's the only way I can get
That's
these
exactly how you
questions.
do this.
Okay. We know Christian Shepherd was in Los Angeles and his son made him really mad and he went on a plane to go to Australia.
Where he saw Sawyer.
And we know now that he went to visit Australia to see Claire, who may or may not at that time have been in the auto accident. Maybe that's what prompted him to go to Australia. And maybe it wasn't Jack. Maybe it was just the whole Claire
But that was
thing.
when Claire still had the black hair.
She was goth Claire.
Yes.
And Jack then
Emo
goes to
Claire.
Australia to find Christian Shepherd, and instead of finding him alive, he finds him dead, apparently caused by overdrinking, caused a heart attack. That's what they said.
Does overdrinking actually cause a heart attack? Does that just cause your liver to stop or
Well, it
like
could be a combination of things, you know, but the end result was that
is
his heart
death?
stopped.
Yeah.
And Jack finds him in the morgue, and he opens up the little zippered body bag, and inside is Christian
And he's
Shepherd.
actually frozen in that carbo stuff that they have from Star
Yeah, he
Wars.
kind of looked like he was frozen. So
What?
then Jack's goal from that point on is to bring his father's body back for burial, and he gets very upset with the flight attendant or the ticket counter lady, who says, "Sir, we cannot take this, you know, coffin on the plane without proper authorization."
You gave up on the accent midway through that. You should probably go back and do it
Yeah,
again.
that was bad either way. And so Jack gets upset. He says, "I have to bury my father." And eventually he gets on the plane, and supposedly his father is in the coffin on the plane. Now we don't know that, right? Jack
Right.
thinks it's there, but we don't know it's there for sure.
Right.
So maybe Christian was never in that coffin. Maybe he never was on the plane. But somehow he got onto the
But
island.
somehow there's a coffin on the island that was the same coffin.
Right, and the coffin was empty. Jack finds an empty
Yes.
coffin on the island, and he goes berserk when he looks inside, and his father's not there. Which, you know, if what I'm my theory is that they're all traveling in time, and that
Including this
Jack,
dead body.
yeah, and Jack is trying to stop this time traveling thing from, you know, recycling itself over and over again.
Yeah.
So he goes back in time to try and change events so that eventually things all work out in a nice linear fashion. His father is where his father's supposed to be, and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And that every time that he finds his father missing, he's frustrated because he can't get time back on track anymore.
Right,
So
that completely just confused me,
it
but
does. Well, when
continue.
you talk time travel, it doesn't make any sense because
That's
you're.
the whole that's how you always answer these questions,
Yeah.
somehow time travel.
Yeah. And it works
That's a
for
good
me.
answer, yeah. Because no one can argue it.
Yeah. That's why I love it. So that's my theory that you know, Christian Shepherd's not really dead yet.
Okay, but how is he on the island
How
and
is
how
he
is
on
he
the
in
island?
Jacob's
Yeah.
cabin?
Unless he could be like
Time
Ben.
travel.
You know how Ben teleport seems to teleport
And same with
himself,
Albert too.
and Albert, like Ben, one minute is on the island, the next minute he's in the desert near
Tunzania.
Tanzania or whatever, Tunzania. So maybe Christian Shepherd somehow knows the secret. He can jump around from Australia to the island to LA, wherever he needs to go.
Okay, but why did he need to come to the island to be with Jacob? You're not answering the
He needed
question.
to come to the island to tell his son that he needed to get some work done. That's in
Early episodes.
one of the deleted scenes. What do they call those scenes?
Cut scenes. Extra scenes.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of them, but they showed them
Deleted
over
scenes.
December and January. They had these
Mobisodes.
mobisodes. Yeah, it was in one of the mobisodes where you see Christian Shepherd saying, "My son has work to do."
That must have
So
been the best Mobisode.
I was like, yeah, that was the last one.
Because they all stunk.
They weren't all bad, but they
Weren't
weren't all
most of them
good
bad?
either. What?
Weren't most of them bad?
Most of them were kind of just sort of funny more than anything, just humorous.
Except that one.
That one was not. That was more like a big revelation kind of episode.
Mobisode.
Episode.
Alright,
That's my theory.
so that's your chief answer?
Yep.
Alright.
And we're running down on battery, so we have
All
to
right, email
wrap this
in
up.
Tealy podcast. I gotta Tealy, I was gonna get our reviews and thoughts on the new Indiana Jones movie like they did in the Tennis Life Radio podcast, but
Well, we still have 22 minutes left
what does that mean?
before we lose all battery power.
Oh, so you wanna do that?
Yeah, go ahead, you
Because I'm
start.
sure you really I don't know if you really want to talk about it all,
Yeah.
but We did just see the Indiana Jones new movie, Curse of the Crystal Skull, or something along those lines. And so before you guys go out and waste your money on seeing the movie, you can hear what Teely has to say about the movie, and then I guess me, but I wasn't that impressed with it. But I mean, for somebody who's really interested in Area 51 and interested in some of the American sort of cover-ups or conspiracies, that was the part that interested me the most. But Teely, you want to give everybody a quick synopsis of the movie without giving
Sure,
anything away?
sure. Have you seen Independence Day, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's got almost similar kind of deal.
You just spoiled the whole movie.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just
Okay,
kidding. Not
sorry.
really. No.
First of all, I should say that the first Indiana Jones movie is like one of my most
One,
favorite movies of
yeah,
all
definitely the
time.
best of the Indiana Jones
Yeah,
movies.
best of the Indiana Jones still, but also just like overall one of my most favorite movies
So
of
it's
all
up
time.
there with all the rest of the old movies.
Yeah, I guess so.
Alien.
Alien was good, you know.
Traumatized you. That could be your next
What
torment
was
of
good
Teely.
about this movie was we got to see some of like our favorite characters from the first movie. We got to see
A woman.
Marion Ravenwood, and we got to see some like homages from the first movie, like the exploding brain, which I don't know. I'm giving away everything, so if you want to see the movie, you probably don't want to listen to this review.
Most people have probably already seen it. Who really care?
Yeah. So a lot of good homages. The things I didn't like was there's too much special effects of the fakey CGI kind, and
Okay,
not enough
don't give
practical
anything
special
away.
effects.
Yeah.
And the other thing I didn't like was there was never any real Indiana Jones never seemed to be in significant danger except maybe once.
At the very, very beginning.
Yeah, and the rest of the movie, I mean, he goes over a waterfall that's 200 feet, you
And
know.
yet everyone
Everyone
survives. Old
survives.
people,
The boat just,
Sheila Booth.
yeah, the boat just rights itself, and then it goes over two
I
more
could have sworn that
waterfalls.
the boat hit a rock on one of them. There was like one of those rock ledges. How it missed and how no one landed on that is beyond me.
It's a mystery. So I didn't like that, but the story was pretty good, although it was too wordy. They should have shown more things instead of explaining the story and what's going on, you know, the plot. That's always a big mistake in movies when you do too much talking and not enough showing of things. But I thought Indy was great. Harrison Ford was perfect.
About Sheila Booth.
Shia LaBeouf actually carried the movie, I thought. He had a lot of energy, kind of carried things along.
Especially with all the old people in it.
Yeah, and we're running low, so we're gonna have to
All right, there you go.
wrap it
That
up.
that's it. That's all we need to do because our next episode is probably going to be super long, super boring, super more of this sort of dialogue between the two of us. So once again, you guys can email in your thoughts, theories, etc., questions, conversation starters. I'm trying to go fast. TeelyPodcast.yahoo.com. Visit the blog, TeelyOneLost.wordpress.com. Visit the Prison Break podcast blog, TheBreakReturns.wordpress.com, where we're currently doing podcasts for season one of Prison Break. And you can go back and find our season three podcasts, etc., etc. So for Teely, I am Jeremy. Thank you for listening. Teely, close out the show.
All right, be sure to watch Lost if you're on the East Coast starting at 8 o'clock for 3 hours this Thursday. It should be great.
Two new episodes, 9 and 10.
Yes. Bye, everybody.
Bye.